Our reading today is found from John chapter 6, verses 25 through 51. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." You may be seated.
I don't want to be too obvious this morning, but do you realize, have you ever thought about this, how much of our lives are actually focused on food? Think about that for a minute. Food makes life fun. We look forward to going out to eat. When we socialize, it's usually around food. A lot of church gatherings include food. I know that this fall, as a matter of fact, they just started a Wednesday night supper for Awana, for families, for kids to come, and it's been great, eating delicious food, making new friends, connecting with old friends. So Wednesday night's been a fun time here. You need to be here. I heard that there's a potluck after church today, second service, more food. Many family gatherings include food. I know when Faith and I saw our grandkids in Colorado in early October, even though both of us were away from our homes, we continued one of their food traditions. Every Friday night, they have garage pizza and a movie. You might think, well, what's garage pizza? Well, garage pizza is simply frozen pizza that comes from the freezer in the garage. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that Friday night, when we were taking care of the grandkids, we had pizza and a movie. Now, before we know it, we're going to find ourselves in the middle of the holiday season approaching Christmas. I know that Thanksgiving already took place in Canada. It's coming up in the U.S., but I think this whole season leading up to Christmas, it is food, food, and more food, correct? Now, at Christmas, so we take it to a whole new level. We have special ethnic foods, traditional family favorites, and lots of eating. Just a special note, this is for free. Don't even think about a diet Christmas time. Just don't go there. You're asking for frustration. So let me ask you, what is one of your favorite foods? It could be Christmas or whatever, but what is one of your favorite foods? Just think about that for a minute. Now, tell it to the person next to you. Go ahead. Okay, what are we coming up with? Mike, what you got?
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie. Okay, that's a good one. We like pumpkin pie. Who else? What is it? Pecan pie. Or pecan pie. Oh. Okay. What is that?
Pizza.
Okay, you're right. That's a favorite food. My grandson Luke and you get along great. Someone else? Popcorn. You need to talk. Somebody else? Favorite, might be a holiday food. Lefse. Yay. Yeah. I like coffee bread because that Faith makes that at Christmas, and it's something we look forward to. Because it's like when we'd open our presents, we'd take coffee bread. So lots of good memories, right? Any last? Oh, I knew somebody was going to say that. I just knew somebody had to say that. We'll pray for you. No, it's good. Yes, yes, yes. I don't think it's surprising. Did you know that Jesus often use the common ordinary things of life to illustrate important spiritual realities? In today's message in our encounters with Jesus, we find ourselves in the Gospel of John chapter 6 where Jesus used food to explain the good news because he knows us really well. So turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6 or look at your outline in the bulletin. Let me just give you some context. Jesus had just returned to Galilee from Jerusalem in the springtime, and the season of Passover was approaching. So the setting of the story was near the Sea of Galilee, which John clarified for those readers who did not know Israel. He also called it the Sea of Tiberias. That was a modern name. Jesus was in the region teaching his disciples, but even though he was in the western hills, he was in the boonies. Okay. His reputation as a healer drew huge crowds to him. Knowing people the way Jesus did, he knew that he needed to provide food for the crowd. That's the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. This young boy came and Jesus took that little bit of food and turned it into an amazing amount of food to feed well over 5,000 people with 12 baskets of leftovers. Kind of sounds like Thanksgiving. The people were so impressed by this miracle and the miracles they had seen before that they thought, he's the guy. And they planned to take Jesus by force and make him their king. That, however, was not Jesus' plan. And it did force him to slip away into the mountains by himself. It was evening, and Jesus' disciples, not knowing where he was, they decided to take the boat across the lake to Capernaum. As they're out on the water, Jesus walked out to them on the water, which is a whole other story, and he joined them in the boat, and as soon as he got in the boat, get this, they were in Capernaum. The next day, when the crowd realized that Jesus was gone, they traveled over to Capernaum to catch up with him. We pick up the narrative in verse 25 and following. It's here that Jesus talked about food, fast food. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Fast food. It's the food that we grab on the run just to keep us going. We don't care too much about what's in it, just so long as it satisfies the hunger pangs in our stomach. We love fast food, I'm sure, in both America, the United States, and Canada. But did you know this? One out of four, I got the stats here, one out of four Americans eats fast food every day. The average American spends $1,200 on fast food annually, $100 a month, roughly $1,250 per meal. When added up, it comes to more than $100 billion on fast food every year, enough money to stop world hunger for a long time. McDonald's feeds about 68 million people around the world every day, which is about 1% of the world's population. I remember when I took a mission trip with a church to Estonia, and one day there was a McDonald's, and I went and I had a Big Mac, and it tasted like a Big Mac, and I enjoyed it because Estonia food is not bad, it's just different. So I was looking for some of that comfort food at that point, but there it was, Estonia. Okay, speaking of Big Macs, if you eat a Big Mac, large fries, and a large Coke, you will have to walk nonstop for 6 hours to burn off the calories you've gained. In other words, you're better off coming to the potluck after church. Okay? Fast food. It's why the crowds were following Jesus. They wanted fast food. They wanted a quick fix to their hunger, fish and chips. Jesus understood this. He showed compassion to hungry people. He knew that before a person can listen to spiritual things, their basic human needs have to be taken care of. And one of those needs, food. However, Jesus didn't want them just living on fast food, where they could get physically fat and spiritually anorexic. He didn't want them just focusing on the appetites of their body. He wanted them to go deeper in their understanding of what was really important in life. They needed to look to the food that endured beyond this life. I just have to wonder if sometimes we're not like that crowd of people. How often are we spending our time and attention on something that will soon be gone? I mean, there's a great example of that in the Old Testament, Genesis 25. It's a familiar story. Two brothers, twins, Esau, Jacob. Esau was the older brother by law and custom. I mean, he got a great deal. That's what it meant to be firstborn. He was entitled to the birthright, the inheritance, the blessing of his father. But one day he came in from the fields and he was famished and he wanted some food right now. Kind of like your kids and grandkids. Right now. Esau was a fast food kind of guy. He was so focused on his immediate appetites that he sold his inheritance to Jacob for a bowl of stew. He could do that. The oldest son could sell his birthright. He could give it away if he chose to. But in so doing, he would lose both material goods and his leadership position. By trading his birthright for fast food, Esau missed out on the lasting blessings that he had coming to him. So I can't help but wonder, how often do we allow our hunger, our desire for the fast food of life, the material things of life that don't last, to overshadow our hunger for the things of God, which will last forever? You know, as Christians, I wish we were exempt from that kind of seduction, but we're not, and we know that. We can be very influenced by the material culture around us. Now, Jesus knows that we all need physical food. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." But he also knows that our lives are about much more than surviving. Life should be about thriving. Matthew 6:33, great verse. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We can all enjoy fast food once in a while, okay? Just don't live there. Moving on in our text, look at verse 28. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Now, I don't know if you have noticed it, but there's a Dairy Queen sign on Highway 53 when you're coming into town. Remember this sign? See what it says there? What kind of food? Fan food, not fast food, okay? DQ has been doing this campaign for the last few years. It's a marketing campaign that has the theme, fan food, not fast food. The company is hoping to brand their food as happy memories, sweet indulgences, rather than average run-of-the-mill fast food. You see, we're a cut above the rest. These other poor slobs, fast food. Not us. We're fan food. In other words, they had fan food, food that was so good, it attracted fans. It created memories. When it came to the crowd of people following Jesus, not all people were there just for the food, the fish and chips. There were real fans that wanted more. Fan food had to do with religion and religious practices and religious events, such as Moses and the manna in the wilderness. There were those who were very much looking for deeper meaning in life. They were big fans of God. They were faithful to go to the temple. They were faithful to do the sacrifices. It was those events that gave their lives meaning and connected them with God. They were fans of Jesus. They had eaten his food, but they would like to see more of it. They had seen his miracles, but they would like to see more of them. They were fans, no different than our sports fans today. They want to see more touchdowns, more big plays, more tackles, more wins, and hopefully the Vikings will win tonight. That kind of thing. But notice their language here. They said, "Jesus, what will you do?" They were checking Jesus out in order to see if he was qualified as someone they would feel comfortable following. They were fans. Just as long as he did what they wanted, ran the plays they called. You see, that's what religion can do to a person. Religious people are seeking for deeper meaning in life, which is good. But they still want to be in control of who they worship and how they worship. They're not God followers. They're God fans. And there's a big difference between the two. By the way, there are a lot of religious people around today, even in places like Hollywood. People accumulate religions to their own liking. Their religions are high in consumer satisfaction. They feel good about themselves. And they only require a low commitment. Some of those religions, you can be a very religious person and you can live life exactly how you want to live it. We have a lot of spiritual people around today. But their spirituality has very little to do with following the one true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, the same spirit can affect us in the church. The result is that even though we profess to be followers of Jesus, we follow when we want and how we want. We follow if it makes us happy. We follow if it's convenient, if something more important isn't happening. We're fans, not followers, who count the cost of following Jesus. And it's little wonder that church attendance is down all across America. Jesus sees the religious interest in the crowd, and he appreciates it. But he wants them to move beyond fast food. He wants them to move beyond fan food to real food. To real food. Verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." A few years ago, as a family, we took a trip to Italy to visit our son and daughter-in-law. And one thing we really noticed in Italy, it was the food. And that's not surprising, I suppose. But there wasn't much fast food. As a matter of fact, we saw an advertisement one time that advertised their food as slow food. I think they wanted to make a distinction between us and them. Slow food meant real food. It's homemade. It has substance and flavor. It was meant to be experienced with family and friends around the table enjoying each other's company. And there's a huge difference between fast food, fan food, and real food. Well, Jesus identifies the difference. Verse 48, "I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." No more fast food. No more fan food. There's something much better. Real food. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the living bread." See, there are a lot of things that you can eat in life, but they won't satisfy your hunger. And they don't add any nutritional value to your system. They're empty calories. We need something more substantial to really be satisfied and nourished and healthy. Well, likewise, in our spiritual life, we need real meat and potatoes Christianity that only Jesus can offer us. Spiritual food that can save us, help us grow and develop and mature. Spiritual food that can give us life. Jesus said that all who partake of the living bread he gives will live forever. Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink." This language had to be offensive to the Jewish audience that he was talking to. We hear these words and we're thinking, ooh, what exactly is he talking about? In Jewish culture, it was forbidden to drink blood according to the law. But this was a new day with a new relationship with Almighty God through the bread of life, Jesus Christ. It was to be an all-consuming relationship. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It was no longer about religion or about going through the motions of religion and ceremonies and sacrifices. It was no longer about being a fan. It was about being a full-time follower. Just as much as the food that you eat becomes a part of you, feeding and nourishing you and giving life to every cell, so when you partake of the bread of life, your total being is transformed by the presence of Jesus living in you. And this relationship was so important to Almighty God. Jesus was so passionate about being the bread of life for you and for me that he became the bread that was broken. The Apostle Paul later used the body and blood imagery when he talked about communion in 1 Corinthians 11. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This was a radical message. It was a powerful message. This is eating the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, not literally, but spiritually. And obviously, when it comes to communion and the Lord's presence in communion, there's part of it that's a real mystery which goes beyond our understanding. But what we do know is that when we eat the bread and drink the cup by faith, we are nourished deep within our souls. Let me ask you, what kind of food have you been eating lately? Have you eaten the bread of life, Jesus Christ, who was so passionate about you that he endured the cross? All the suffering, all the humiliation, all the brutality, so that you could be his own child. He loved you that much. You matter that much to him. Let me also say this. If you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, I invite you to do that this morning. To experience for the first time in your life real food. To experience real life, to experience real love, and to experience real peace through a life-changing relationship with the living God. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, you say in your word, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. Lord, this morning, so many of us as your people, we have to admit, sometimes we don't have a really good appetite for you. Sometimes we've gotten so caught up with the fast food of life, the things that really don't matter, that really aren't important and that won't last, that we've missed out. We've missed out on that special time with you. Oh, we know you and we've believed in you and we've committed our lives to you and we've asked you, Jesus, to forgive our sins and to come into our lives. But there's still a yearning, a deep hunger within our souls. And maybe we haven't identified it until this morning. But Lord, we know we have tried to fill that hunger and take care of that hunger in a number of different ways, and it hasn't worked. And you tell us today you're the only one who can satisfy our hunger and fill our life with good things, with God things, now and forever. We surrender. We surrender to you again and say, Lord Jesus, not only be our Savior, but be our Lord. Be our all in all. Be the bread of life for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.